and praying on what to speak about today, it brought me back to something, and I have preached on this before, but I preach on a lot of the same things, so it'll just flow right together. But we've been talking about the goodness of God, and we've been going through a lot of the Psalms. It's going to continue. I just feel like that's just really the vein God has been leading me down, is just we need to know how good he is, and then we need to be able to express to others how good he is. Because it's the goodness of God that draws men to redemption. It's the goodness of God that draws men to salvation. And I just, my goal here, you know, and we've been spending a lot of time in the Old Testament, because we can learn from the Old Testament. Old Testament is not irrelevant. It is there for us to learn from. It is there to teach us. Now, it's not the same covenant we're under, so please don't get sucked into that trap. We are under a new covenant. We are under the New Testament. So don't get sucked into the trap, but by all means, dig in and learn what we can learn. And I think we've been seeing a lot in these Psalms God's heart towards us, because we can see God's heart towards us because of his heart towards Israel, right? They went through a lot of tough times, but he was continually calling them back. He was always calling them back. He was always pleading them, come back to me. Let me be your God. Let my covenant with you work, because if we step outside the covenant, it's hard for things to go right. Because we just shut off who God is. We shut off his, we can shut off his ability and power in our life. I know there's people who disagree with that, but you can see it all throughout Scripture. If you really open your eyes and you really pay attention and you're really honest with yourself, Israel shut off the power of God. Why? Because they turned somewhere else. They did the things he told them not to do. He wasn't being an unjust God when he said, don't marry other women from other nations. He was telling them that because he knew how easily they were going to be pulled astray, right? He knew how easily they were going to be pulled astray to serve other gods. And then he knew how easily they would forget about him. And so this cycle just continued and continued and continued. But he was still there. He still loved them. He still wanted them back. He still wanted this covenant to work for them. Because he said in Malachi, I never change. And basically he said, you should be thankful for that. Because I never change, my covenant hasn't changed towards you. And because my covenant hasn't changed towards you, there's still opportunity to come back. Now, if he was a God who changed, if he was a schizophrenic God, he would just say, you know what? This is it. I've had enough of this. I can easily find another people. I can easily, but no. He made a covenant. He made a covenant. He's a God of his word. He is a just God. And it would have been unjust to just leave them to the wolves and not try to draw them back, correct? So we were going through that. If you want to, you can find all those sermons on the website. But we're going to go into the New Testament in a little bit. And this is some of my, if not my favorite portion of Scripture here. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 12 just so I feel better about myself, because I think about this stuff, and I was meditating on this last night, and the Lord said, well, just do this. And I was like, well, I do that all the time. I don't care. Just do that. You know, when the Lord tells you what to do, you just do it. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. It says, therefore, and this is Peter speaking, therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. So he's saying, what we're about to speak here, you know it, you're established in it, but I'm just going to continue to tell it to you. There's nothing wrong with repetition. There's nothing wrong with going back to something that you really think you have a hold of and studying it further and studying it further, because there's no depth to the Word of God. There's no limit to the Word of God. There's no limit to the revelation that can come from the Word of God. So don't ever put that, don't ever say, well, I know that verse. Because you're really limiting what God can do through that verse. I knew a lot of verses. But man, it's been amazing to watch the Lord open up those verses to me as I've continued to seek him, as I've continued to seek relationship with him. So he says, we'll start again in verse 12. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and though you are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Since I know that I'm putting off my body will be soon, our Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after I'm gone, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So there's a real importance set on what has been delivered in this chapter. Real important. Or in this book, even. For me, right now, it's just this chapter. I'm going to tell you about it again, even though you've heard it. And then, when I'm gone, I'm going to have it written down. I'm going to have it in so many people's hearts that you won't ever forget it, because people can't stop talking about it. So if you look at it in that context, there's something important here. There's something that we need to get here. And so when we go back up, let's start in verse 2. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So right there, just a really simple verse, but very powerful verse. Grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge. There's a knowledge that comes through our relationship with God that just instills peace. It instills grace in us. Because when we're walking in that relationship, when those hard times come, that peace is within me. It's already there. I don't have to go searching for it. Yes, I can revisit Scripture. And yes, I can seek the Holy Spirit about it. But that peace is there because the Holy Spirit is inside me, offering that peace, providing that peace, because I've been seeking the Lord. I know what his word says. I know that his word says, be anxious for nothing. That verse blew my mind. I could not understand that verse because I was anxious for everything. I mean, truly, at one point in my life, I couldn't function because of the anxiety that was just surging through my, like literally surging through my body. There would be times at work where I just had to like go disappear because I didn't know what to do. Like, I felt like I was going to explode in a very bad way. I didn't know what to do. I was hyperventilating. I was shaking. I didn't know what to do. So when I read a verse like, be anxious for nothing, which is a promise we have, how is that real? How is that even possible? But the great thing about God is I don't have to understand it for it to work in my life. I just truly believe that. Now, the more understanding I have, the more effective I am. But for God to move, he doesn't need you to know everything. All I had to do was say, okay, Lord, I don't understand it. I really don't. Show me. Teach me. As long as we don't harden ourselves to it, he's able to get it to us. He's able to teach. He is able to help you understand. But as soon as I harden myself and I say, nope, that's for me, that could never work, not a chance, I've shut that door. Now, I can always reopen it, but I shut that door for a long time. So verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Here we go again, through the knowledge of him. And you can say to yourself, and I did say to him, well, I got to get knowledge. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. And then you immediately fall back into works-oriented relationship, and it's not effective. That's why the revelation for me of relationship with God, instead of just trying to please God, instead of just trying to make him happy, when he already was, when he was already pleased with me, was such a dead end, was so fruitless, was so powerless, because I was missing the point. When I seek him, he fills me. When I go to him and say, Lord, help me understand. Okay, it says I need knowledge of you. Show me what that is. Show me what that means. Send people across my path to help. Right? It's not, you're not going to get everything from me. I have revelation in some things, not a revelation in all things. We do need to seek out good teachers. Good teachers changed my life. Good, biblically sound teachers changed my life. Right? I'd been going to church my whole life. But when I started to understand the word, instead of just hearing the word every Sunday, and now that was on me. I could have taken what was given that particular Sunday. I could have sought it out more. I could have applied it more to my life. So I'm not blaming pastors, my previous pastors. I'm not blaming anybody but myself. I'm just showing you the hard attitude towards teaching, towards understanding, because if I'm trying to figure it out on my own, it's not going to work. It never did work. I learned some really valuable lessons the hard way, and we just talked about this last week, but why do we have to learn everything the hard way? Why is it just in us to go, I see what you did, and I see what you're trying to tell me, but you know what? I can do it differently. No, you can't. Oh, man. But he says all things that pertain to life and godliness. What is it that you need? Seek it out. What is it that's in the Word of God that will help us to attain life and godliness? What is it? I don't know for you. I don't know each and every one of your personal situations, but I know that in the Word, you'll find it. I know you will. And you may not always get it right away. That's okay. That's okay. Keep going. Endure. Endure through the lack of understanding. It's okay. It's okay. Persist. Keep going. Keep pushing. Say, Lord, no, there's more to this. There's more to this. What is it? And you keep pushing and you keep going. And we have to ask questions. Because these promises are real, right? When we were going through the Psalms, he was laying out these promises for Israel that I very much believe we can apply to our lives because he never changes. Yes, Israel has specific prophecies over them that need to be filled. But telling them that I will never leave you nor forsake you is a promise that we can hang on to. Telling them that I will go before you and I will go behind you, I will lead you, is a promise for us. Because right now, there's no difference. We're all one church. Whether Jew, white, black, it doesn't matter. We're one church under Christ. So this stuff applies. This stuff matters. That's why we need to know it. What are our promises? Well, it says all things that pertain to life and godliness will be supplied through the knowledge of him. But are we interested in the knowledge of him? That was something I had to really wrestle with. Was I truly interested in seeking out that knowledge? Or was I satisfied just living the life that I was living? God still loved me. I'm certain that I still would have gone to heaven. I'm certain of it. But man, my life was so difficult. It was so difficult. Everything was a challenge. Everything was a fight that I could never win because I had nothing to back myself up with. I turned my back on my help. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. I believe that's Psalms 121. David's saying, where does my help come from? I look to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Wait, my help comes from the Lord, and do we believe it? I didn't believe it for a very long time because my perception of God was very different from what the Bible laid out of who God truly was. So it goes on. I'll just start at 3 again. We'll get through one verse, I promise. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence. It's for his glory and it's for his excellence. Anything that I achieve in this life is for his glory. Everything that God has brought me out of, everything that he's directing me to do is for him. And the minute I start pointing back at myself, the minute I start getting conceited and puffed up and say, yeah, that was me. Man, watch out. The fall's coming. Because everything that's good, everything that's lovely is for his glory. When we step out of here and start living our everyday life, it's for his glory. Now, will we be blessed through it? Absolutely. But the blessing is for his glory. Will we see victory in it? Absolutely. But the victory is for his glory. Because when we're experiencing these things, we're walking in relationship with him. There's this understanding that's building in us. There's this knowledge, wisdom that's growing inside of us because we're beginning to see. Thank you, Lord, for that victory. Thank you. Thank you for doing that in my life. Thank you for bringing that person across my path to speak to me. I needed that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Praise him. Give him glory. Because that's where the power is. That the power is understanding what he's doing in your life and what he wants to do in your life. That's where the power is. Because it's nothing I can do. The sky is not the limit for me. It's not. It's not. Take that. Go with that. It's not the limit. Because in the spirit, where are the limits? Yes, my body has physical limits. I've experienced some of those. But in the spirit, there is no limit. There is no limit to the relationship that we can obtain through him. And that's exciting to me. That gets me encouraged. That gets me excited because I see what he's doing in my life. And it's good. And I see the things that I need to grow up in, and I see the things that I need to mature in, but I see where he's brought me from to where I am now, and it's, why not more? I am extremely blessed, and I am extremely satisfied, but I'm not so satisfied that I just want to stay. There's more. There's more for each and every one of us. The difference between you and me is the call. I was called to be a pastor. That's the difference. That's it. You're called to do whatever God has called you to do. God called me to do this. It doesn't make me any better than you. I just have a different role. We're each his child. He desires each and every one of us to walk out this victorious life, not just pastors, not just fivefold ministers, Everyone. Everyone that chose him can walk this life out. Take it as encouragement. Yes, I can do this. Yes, we can do this. Every one of us. I'm going to get through one verse. Verse 4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. There's just so much in each and every one of these. I would encourage you through this week, read this whole chapter over and over and over and over and over again, and just listen to the Holy Spirit. He has given us his great and very precious promises so that through them we can become partakers with him. Promises. Promises of who he is. Promises of what he has for each and one of, every one of us. Do we believe him? Do we know him? Do we care to? Are we just fine with the way things are going? Am I just trying to get to the end? Lord, come quickly. I just need to get to the end. I've had enough. He loves you. He's going to greet you with open arms. He's going to give you a big hug. And then we'll have the rest of eternity to figure it out. Thank God. But it doesn't have to be like that. Until your very last breath, you can be growing in relationship with God. And then after that last breath, you're just going to continue on in relationship with God. Man, if that doesn't put you at peace, I don't know what will. Like, it doesn't have to end. I tell myself now, I can have bad moments, but I'm not going to have bad days. I understand that I still fall. I still make bad choices. I'm believing that I'm going to continue to grow out of those, and they'll become less and less and less and less. Bad moments, not bad days. Because why do we have to waste a whole day on something that the Word can set us straight on right now? I don't have to have a bad day. I don't have to have a bad week. I don't have to have a bad month, year, life. I don't have to have that. None of us in here have to walk in that. None of us in here have to live that life. None of us. None of the people in your life have to endure that either. It's just, what are we choosing? That's all. And why can't I pray for them? Why can't we plant seeds of goodness? Why can't we plant seeds of his love? Why can't we be representations of his? We should be. Let me rephrase that. We should be representations of his love, of his goodness. And granted, every one of us is at a different place, different growth. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't stay there. My encouragement is just to keep going forward. Keep going forward with God. Keep going forward with this thought of relationship. I don't know that I can preach a sermon without turning it towards relationship. Because it's just what's so, so important. So it says, verse 4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So we're starting to get a hint here of what his promises are meant to do for us. They're meant to keep us from living like the world. They're meant to keep us from looking like the world. They're meant to keep us from sinful desires, right? if I'm understanding his promises correctly, if I'm walking with him in this relationship, I need to look on those things of old that held me back, that tied me down, that put me in bondage, and I need to say, okay, Lord, what is it in your word that keeps me from going back there? What is it in your word that keeps me from being snared again? What is it in your word that keeps me from living in that old life instead of walking in newness? We have to be honest with ourselves. I have to be honest when I'm struggling with something and say, I can't do this on my own. I can't overcome this on my own because I couldn't overcome it then without you. And without you, I'm not going to overcome it now. I have to get rid of this pride that I can just do anything and accomplish anything. And I need to have reliance on him. My relationship with him is reliance. Lord, what else? What else? You got to be very careful with the independent lifestyle. You need to be extremely careful with it. Well, I'm teaching my kids to be independent. Independent of what? So independent that they don't take anything from anybody. So independent that they won't take a word. They won't take reproach. Well, I'm independent, so I'm just independent. And it doesn't matter what you say to me because I'm independent. I'm going to do what I want to do because I'm independent. I've seen it. Our walk with God is reliance on God. And it doesn't, well, yeah, we're weak. In our flesh, without him, we're weak. He makes us strong. In him, I am strong. In him, I have strength. In him. So yes, I need to rely on him. I need to rely on what the Holy Spirit is ministering to me in any and every situation. I need to rely on that. It's okay. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. Oh, that just makes you weak. That just makes you weak. I love it because you hear it all the time. Well, you're only a Christian because you're weak-minded. You're only a Christian because you can't figure things out on your own, and neither can you. Sorry. I'm a Christian because he's changed my life. I'm a Christian because his word is true. And his word took me from death to life. That's why I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian because I believe Jesus Christ came as a sinless man, lived a sinless life, suffered and died for my sins, conquered hell, took the keys of sin and death, and rose again. I believe it. And you won't talk me out of it. Because I know what he's done in my life. I know what he's done in my life. I know what he's doing in my life. And I know that as my relationship continues to grow with him, I know there's more. There can't not be more with God. He's limitless. Well, this is about it, I think. Lord, you've blessed me too much already. Shh, don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. Lord, I just can't take any more of your blessings. Stop it. Take them and give them to somebody else then. Right? He's just so good. So, so good. So then it says, verse 5. says, "For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, with valor, with seeking after God. And virtue with knowledge." There's knowledge again. I can't tell you how important it is to not be ignorant of the Word of God. I can't tell you how important it is to let Him minister to you through the Word of God. Because that's what He wants to do. That's what He's going to use. I guarantee, as you're reading, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. It is the Word of God. So what else is supposed to happen? And knowledge with self-control. Oh, man. You mean I can't do everything? Well, you can. You can. This is just a guideline here. This is just saying, you know what? This is a good thing for you. Even though it's the fruit of the Spirit, and even though we contain it and we possess it, self-control is a very, very important thing. But I like doing that. Well, okay. When you get tired of it, when it continues to lead you down the wrong road, when you continue to fail, when you continue to not experience victory, I'll be here to let you know. Self-control is a good thing. I need self-control over what I eat. I do. I do. I need self-control over what goes through my head. I need self-control in what draws my eyes away from what God is leading me to do. And what that means and what that is probably a little different for everybody. But I'm convinced, I've experienced it, it's better with Him than it is without Him. Period. It just is. No matter what I have to give up is worth it. Because I know He's going to fill me up so much more than that, whatever that is, can. I smoked for a long time. But I smoked because I was in pain. I smoked because I was in pain physically, and I smoked because I was in pain mentally. And for whatever reason, instead of turning to God, I turned to cigarettes, and that's just the way I went. And it made me feel good for 5 minutes. It did. It did. Now I'm rebuking all that stuff that comes with smoking because I don't want that to be the end of me because I made that mistake. But I did. I did it. Now, was I a pack-a-day kind of guy? No. Doesn't matter how many I smoked. That's what I turned to. I turned to that instead of turning to God for my answers up here. There was a time in my life where I couldn't even stand on my feet. I did because I had to, but I wanted to cry every time. I had just terrible foot problems. I had terrible problems with my body. And gosh, you know what? Cigarettes are going to help that. Oh, boy. The things we can convince ourselves of, you know? Well, that felt good for a minute. I'll just do it again in another half hour, and that'll be fine. And I'll just go down this little horrible cycle of, oh, it hurts. I'll sneak off. Yeah, none of my kids are up here, so I'm good. We'll have to have that conversation someday, but nothing can compare to what I'm experiencing now. I had to make some changes. I had to stop smoking. Because what's the point of going up and praying for healing if I'm just going to continue to kill myself with a cigarette? Will God heal me? I think He would, just because He's that loving, but then I'm just going to kill myself again through cigarette use, through alcohol abuse, through pornography, through whatever it is. I think pornography will kill you just as quick as any of that stuff. But what am I willing to give up? Am I willing to step out of the death that I was submitting myself to and back into life? It's a simple choice. But up here, it seems like a life and death situation. I always hated those people who could just smoke a cigarette and then be like, I'm done. I don't need them anymore. I don't have to smoke. I just do them every now and again. It's like, you frustrate me. Because I went down that hole, and man, that was just what I needed. And it was a hole. That's just what it was. Self-control. And with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, endurance. Another version there says endurance. We have to be building ourselves up to endure what's coming at us. The enemy doesn't want you to be a successful Christian. The enemy doesn't want you to know how loving God is. The enemy doesn't want you to have relationship with you. So what do you think he's going to do when you start experiencing these things, when you start growing in these things? Do you think he's going to come up? Oh, you figured it out. Good job. I'm gone. Nope. It's a fight. It's a fight. It's a fight. It's a fight. And will we outlast? Will we at some point go, you know what? I have authority over you. You know what? You got nothing on me. That's not who I was. That was who I was. That's not who I am anymore. And the word says, you got nothing. In so many words. You got nothing. So why should I submit to you? Why should I believe your lies? Why should I go down this road? Why should I go back to who I was when I can be free over here? Bondage, freedom. I don't know. Some people, and I get it because I was there. Man, bondage can just seem so comfortable sometimes. I don't have to do anything. I'm just stuck. I'm just stuck. And it truly is just this mental, horrible thing. All right. And with steadfastness, godliness. And godliness, brotherly affection, and with brotherly affection, with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are some big verses here. Like some verses that will truly set you free. Not that every verse in the Bible can't, but there is some major revelation here. Major revelation here of who he is, what he wants for us, what is ours. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. That's where I went. That's where I went. I forgot what the Lord had done for me. And I covered my eyes with all the nasty junk of the world. And I just filled myself with that. And I'm still purging myself of that. And I'll probably be purging myself of that for most of my life. But I know the one who can help me purge. I know the one who can cleanse my mind. I know the one who wants victory for me. I know the one who told me, be anxious for nothing. I know him. Therefore, brothers, verse 10, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. What? I mean, I can't necessarily wrap my head around that one yet. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm growing just like every one of us in here. If you practice these qualities, you will never fail. Or never fall, I should say. You will never fall. That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. But are we willing to dig and find out what these are? Right? I mean, they told us. Just read those first 10 verses if you really want to. If you can't get through a whole chapter, that's fine. I would encourage it. But you say, okay, Peter had this confidence here. You know, he went from denying Christ to just being this stalwart leader of the new church, speaking things that he's speaking here that were revealed to him from God. And how was this so important to him? And why did this have such effect on his life? We'll find out in verse 16. Hop down to verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't something he made up. This is something he saw. This is something he experienced. This became a truth to him through his relationship with Jesus Christ from beginning to end. Through his relationship now with the Holy Spirit. Right? Jesus left. Holy Spirit came. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, there's cleverly devised myths out there. How are you going to know the difference? How am I going to know the difference? Man, there's people who can just speak. And it's a joy to listen to them speak. Like, honestly, like there are speakers out there who can just grab your attention. They can say the things you want to hear. But is it truly what the Word of God is backing up? Does the Word of God back up what's being preached? I'll always encourage you to call me out if you don't feel like something lines up with the Word of God. Because we can't have those kind of problems. We have to be on the same page to be effective. Then hop down to verse 20. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture come from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. These promises are true because this word is true. You don't have to agree with it, but it doesn't mean it's not true. In fact, the stuff you don't agree with, man, start seeking it out. Start fleshing it out a little bit. Get it figured out. Don't let it be a stumbling block in your life. Because what's contained in here is our promises. What's contained in here is life. Jesus said in John 17, your word is truth. John 17:3, your word is truth. Sanctify them in your truth. Word, truth. This wasn't something that was made up. How do I know it's not made up? Because the novel I read didn't change my life. There's a lot of good books out there. I've read a lot of good books. Man, they kept me interested. But when it was over, it was over. I've even reread books because I liked them so much. But not one of them changed my life for the better. It gave me a moment of satisfaction. It gave me a moment of joy. But nothing like the Bible can change your life. But do we believe we, including myself, that this is truth? Do we believe that the promises contained in here are for us? Because 2 Corinthians 1:20, I'm going to go quick. For all the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. To the glory of God. Remember that. It's to the glory of God. So we got promises of power. We got promises of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. One, do we have the Holy Spirit? I do. If you need him, if you need to receive him, come see me after. We'll fix that. Be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4. Read verses 6 through 7. I don't have to live a life of anxiety. I don't have to live a life of stress and depression. You are loved. Read the whole book of John. You are loved. But John 16:27 says, for the Father himself, John 16:27, loves you because you loved me and have believed that I came from God. He loves you. He created you. Yes. He put you here for such a time as this. Yes. Yes. He has overcome. Because he has overcome, I can overcome. We can overcome. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. Because in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But all these verses point to Jesus. Every one of them. Every one of them. If we remain in him, we will bear fruit. That's a promise. John 15:5. Actually, just read John, because most of these come from John. Just kidding. Read the whole Bible. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him bears fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We can do things, but they're not God things. They're just things. Let not your heart be troubled. We just read that one. But man, can we, like, I can't always wrap my head around certain phrases, and that was one of those that went right along with be anxious for nothing. But I'm telling you, just continue to walk. Continue to seek. Let him just prove it to you. God has no problem proving things to you. Like, man, he relishes it. I mean, he just told us, what did he tell us? Try me. He told us, try me. Salvation, protection, power again. Mark 16:16-18. Read it. I don't have time. We're out of time. But these are just, you know, some promises. These are not all the promises. I encourage you as you spend time in the Word, Father, show me those promises. And you'll come across some, the Holy Spirit will go, there's one. Mark it. Do whatever you do. Write it down. Make a list. Whatever it is. So then when you need encouragement, you can go to that list. Keep reading. Oh, there's another one. You won't get very far. Oh, there's another one. There's another one. Because he's a good God. He would be unjust to put us in this world to not give us the ability to succeed in this world. He would be unjust. He's not a God who just put us here and said, all right, this should be entertaining. That's not his nature. Purpose. Purpose is his nature. Love is his nature. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that your word is truth and your word is life. And we can put our confidence in you because this is not made up. This was inspired by you. And Father, I just thank you that as we dig into your word and as we seek you out, you are going to reveal. I speak forth revelation over everybody in this room right now. The revelation that they need to know of you. The revelations that they need to know of your promises and of your goodness, Father. And I just thank you as we go out of this place, we go through our week, Father, that people are going to see something different about us. People are going to ask. And you're going to give us the ability to witness, to minister to your goodness, to your love, and everything that we do, Father. Because it all goes back to you, Lord. All the glory goes to you, Father. And we just thank you for this, and I just pray for safety as we go through our week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Everybody have a wonderful week.